From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, July 11th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Maine State Police are investigating the death of a one-year-old boy from Vinyl Haven. Department of Public Safety spokesperson Shannon Moss said the boy's parents called 911 on Wednesday morning to report that their son was unresponsive. First responders arrived at their home and began life-saving efforts. The child was taken to Islands Community Medical Services. A short time later, Maine State Police were notified that the child had died. The Office of the Chief Medical Examiner performed an autopsy on Thursday, but says further testing is needed to determine the cause and manner of death. The boy's parents are cooperating with the investigation. The police chief in Paris, Maine, has resigned. Town manager Natalie Andrews says a separation agreement for Michael Daly was sent to her by the town's attorney and became official on July 1st. He will receive 8 weeks of wages and unused vacation time that total more than $20,000. The resignation comes after police say a suspect stole Daly's cruiser and led law enforcement on a chase that resulted in a shootout in South Paris in early May. Daly was one of two members of the police department put on leave. The other officer, Alan Coffin, has returned to duty and has been named interim chief until a replacement for Daly is found. Daly had served as chief for a little over 5 years. Maine shelter and pet owners are raising concerns about new federal regulations for dogs crossing the border into the United States. The rules, which go into effect on August 1st, require that all dogs entering the U.S. be at least 6 months old and have a microchip and documentation of a rabies vaccine. Betsy Hallett runs the Central Aroostook Humane Society in Presque Isle. She says the new rules will make it more difficult to rescue some dogs, facilitate adoptions, or return lost pets to their owners who cross Maine's eastern border with Canada.
So what has happened in the past is people end up in the jam of not having proof of vaccination, so therefore they can't cross the border, pick their dog up, and take it back home with them.
U.S. Senator Susan Collins is asking the U.S. Centers for Disease Control to postpone implementation of the new rules. She says they could make it more difficult for Canadian mushers to participate in the Can-Am Crown International Sled Dog Race in Fort Kent, which is a major economic driver for the region. More than three dozen protesters rallied in Augusta on Thursday to pressure Maine's public pension fund to fully divest from fossil fuels. Divest Maine campaign manager Hope Light says the Maine public employee retirement system is flouting a three-year-old state law that requires it to pull investments from coal, gas, and oil by 2026.
They've hidden behind their fiduciary responsibility, as in that this is something they're not required to do, that their fiduciary duty to their stakeholders exempts them from the law.
Demonstrators say the retirement system could shift money over to less risky investments with the same or better returns. In a statement, Maine Purse said it had spent considerable resources and time to explore the financial implications of avoiding fossil fuel investments. It expects the system's fossil fuel investments to drop by a third in the next 2 years. Friends of Acadia has announced a $10 million fundraising campaign aimed at addressing the shortage of housing for seasonal staff. The organization began fundraising about a year ago and has raised more than $7 million, which will be used to leverage additional federal money. Housing has become a serious barrier for hiring staff, says Park Superintendent Kevin Schneider, but it's especially difficult for seasonal workers who only need it for about a few months.
Housing is critical for us at Acadia National Park. If we don't have a house, we won't be able to have a seasonal employee. That's really what it amounts to. It is impossible for somebody to find a place to live for a six-month summer season if we can't provide housing for them.
The new housing will provide 60 additional beds on two sites already owned by Acadia National Park. And Maine's vast forests already absorb a huge amount of fossil fuel emissions from the atmosphere, offsetting much of Maine's greenhouse gas emissions. But a new pilot program encourages commercial landowners to use climate-smart forestry methods to store even more carbon and turn out high-value products. Peter McGuire reports.
Under the $30 million program, six landowners will get compensation for tending their woodlots in ways that stimulate tree growth that traps more carbon from the air. Techniques such as thinning tangled young woods to promote valuable trees are familiar in Maine, but high upfront costs are a barrier to widespread use, according to the New England Forestry Foundation. The foundation's test project hopes to show that broad adoption of these methods can grow trees that store a lot more carbon by remaining alive in the forest or when processed into durable products, says foundation senior forester Brian Milikowski.
We need more productivity coming out of young forests, and we need more old forests keeping on doing the thing they're so great at, which is storing carbon for a long time.
The pilot is funded with a U.S. Department of Agriculture grant. Landowners plan to use climate-smart techniques on 12,000 acres of timberland. The foundation estimates the additional carbon storage will be enough to offset the heating and cooling emissions from more than 20,000 homes a year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Friday morning, in these hyper-partisan times, we'll talk about how people on both sides of the aisle can connect. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thank you for listening.